शरम व्रज स्त्रिया प्रलंब बाहूं नवखंज लोचनम पीतांबरम भूषकरमालिनम लसार मुखारविंदम भरस्मिष्ट कुंडलम सुविस्मिताखो यमपीव्य दर्शनः कुतश्च कस्याच्युत वैश्य भूषणा इति स्म सर्वा परिभारुर उत्सुकास तम उत्तम श्लोक पदम बुजाश्रयम्। Shukadev Goswami said, the young women of Braja became astonished upon seeing Lord Krishna's servant, who had long arms, whose eyes resembled a new-grown lotus, and who wore a yellow garment and a lotus garland, and whose lotus-like face glowed with brightly polished earrings. Who is this handsome man? The gopis asked. Where has he come from, and whom does he serve? He's wearing Krishna's clothes and ornaments. Saying this, the gopis eagerly crowded around Uddhava, whose shelter was the lotus feet of Lord Uttamashloka, Sri Krishna. Tam prashrayenan vanatha sukasakritam sabridaha sekshana sudritan sundrita dibhi rahasya prichchan upavishtamasane vigyaya sandesha haram ramapate. Bowing their heads in humility, the gopis duly honored Uddhava with their shy, smiling glances and pleasing words. They took him to a quiet place, seated him comfortably, and began to question him, for they recognized him to be a messenger from Krishna, the master of the goddess of fortune. Purport. The chaste gopis were enlivened to see that a messenger had come from Krishna, as Uddhava will discover during his stay in Vrindavan. The unique gopis could not think of anything but their beloved Krishna. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jainatasmoy Sri Guru Hai Namaha Vancha Kalpatarubhyas Chakri Pasindubhya Evacha Vatithanam Bhavani Bhyo Vaishnabhe Bhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivashadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bowing their heads in humility, the gopis duly honored Uddhava with their shy, smiling glances and pleasing words. They took him to a quiet place, seated him comfortably, and began to question him, for they recognized him to be a messenger from Krishna, the master of the goddess of fortune. When Uddhava came to Vrindavan, so many wonderful things he learned from the Brijvasis. Coming from the royal kingdom of Mathura, he was most obviously accustomed to much formality, much etiquette, and a great deal of sophistication. When Uddhava is coming to Vrindavan, One of the things that he was so amazingly pleased to see was how utterly unsophisticated the Brijabasis were, especially the gopis. They did not really know the fine arts of so much types of diplomacy and formalities and etiquette. They were just very simple village girls, cowherd girls. Here we see that when Uddhava came to Vrindavan, when the gopis saw him, they all eagerly just crowded around him. And with such simple, pure, and unreserved feelings, it is explaining how they honored him by shy, smiling glances and pleasing words. And then they took him to a quiet place and they seated him comfortably and they began to question him. There is a place in Brajbhumi which is called Uddhava Kyari. It is very close to Nandagaon. And this is the place where the Braj Gopis brought Uddhava in order to speak to him and hear from him. How is it that the gopis understood immediately that he was a messenger of Krishna? Krishna, knowing the hearts of the Braj Gopis, knew very well in their unsophisticated love how in order to truly believe that he was really Krishna's messenger and accept his message to be authentic, there had to be some external evidence. And Krishna made the evidence very obvious from the very beginning because he gave Uddhava his own personal clothes to wear. First of all, Uddhava's body itself very much resembled that of Krishna. He had the same type of blackish complexion, beautiful lotus eyes. He had very long arms. Because he was Krishna's cousin brother, from one point of view, and because Krishna specially empowered him with such inconceivable and wonderful beauty, he so much resembled Krishna. But just to make sure that the gopis knew that he was directly sent by Krishna, Krishna gave him his own clothes to wear as well. So the gopis could immediately understand that Krishna has sent him. Otherwise, how is it possible? And they sat him down in the beautiful Vrindavan forest. And Uddhava could see that the gopis, they were just so simple. Generally, we find that highly evolved religious people, they are very well versed in various forms of ritual, in various forms of formalities. But the gopis, all they knew was Krishna. All they knew was Krishna was their most beloved friend and their most intimate lover. And this conception of raga bhakti, completely spontaneous love, such a state of love that completely transcends all the formalities of the Vedic injunctions, is unique only in Vrindavan. In Vaikuntha, we find that the honor and the respect showed to Lord Narayan in all of his various manifestations. You see in the Vaikuntha planets, all of the avatars that appear in this world have their own spiritual abode in Vaikuntha. It is not that these particular avatars originate in this earth, but Varaha Dev, Narasingha Dev, Kurama Dev, Vamana Dev, they all have their own personal intimate Vaikuntha planet. And those who worship them in this world and develop pure unalloyed love and devotion, they are promoted after leaving this body to the particular designated Vaikuntha world in which that particular form of God is eternally residing. So you can be an eternal servant of Varaha Dev, an eternal servant of Kurama Dev, eternal servant of Sri Ramchandra. But in each of these Vaikuntha worlds, that Lord who has attracted the devotees in that particular lila is appearing in an original four-armed Vaikuntha form and is worshipped with such love, such devotion, but with all the formalities that are due to the absolute truth, to the Supreme King, to the Lord of the universe, to the Lord of all existence. Tume sarve swareshwara brajendra nandana kumar. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, my Lord, there are many lords, there are many controllers, but you are the controller of all controllers. And ultimately, everything is happening by your sweet will. Nothing can happen outside of your will. So the devotees in Vaikuntha, they are conscious of this, that he is the supreme controller and everything is taking place by his inconceivable and complete will. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays in this beautiful song that it is your will that Maya is completely subjugating everyone in this material world according to their own particular independent desires to rebel against you and enjoy separate from you. And it is by your will alone that that fortunate devotee who takes to devotional service can be liberated from the clutches of Maya. Nothing exists outside of the will of Krishna. So in these most exalted Vaikuntha planets, the Lord is understood and seen in this light. And he is perfectly worshipped with all beautiful Vedic mantras in pure love. All the rituals are so elegantly and gorgeously performed. It's all attractive to the mind. Beautiful, beautiful palaces. Everyone living there has the same type of physical form as Lord Vishnu or the goddess of fortune herself. In fact, it is said that the residents of Vaikuntha, besides Shivas, the presence of Lakshmi Devi on chest of the Lord, everyone has practical identical forms as the Lord. And everyone is living in the most unlimitedly gorgeous spiritual abodes in the form of wonderful homes. But no one is accepting it for their own sense gratification. Their entire existence is simply for the pleasure of the Lord. But they are using these grand, opulent facilities simply to worship Krishna. The wealth of Vaikuntha cannot be possibly imagined in this world. The opulences and luxuries of Vaikuntha, but everything is being used for Krishna's service, for Krishna's glorification. So you can imagine how incredibly breathtaking and beautiful it must be the way the Lord is worshipped there. So regal, so majestic, that a devotee would practically faint upon seeing the reverential opulence and beauty in the way everyone is worshiping Krishna throughout the day and throughout the night. In fact, it is said that for a devotee to actually go back to Goloka Vrindavan, it's not an easy thing. He has to be completely fixed in Krishna and only Krishna. Because as you begin to transcend this material world, you have to go by all the heavenly planets, where the most incredible luxuries are being provided. And if you are even the slightest bit attracted to any of the pleasures that you see as you're going by the heavenly planets, you have to stop there. You cannot go beyond that platform. But if you're totally detached, and if you're attached to anything of this world, how are you ever going to transcend the heavenly planets? You have to go by all the heavens and everything's seen before you and everything's offered to you, and you say, it's all Maya. I have no taste. I only want Krishna. Then you can go by the heavenly planets, all the way up to Brahma Loka, Satya Loka, planetary systems. And then after passing through Viraja, you enter into the Brahma Jyoti, and there, that pure, brilliant light of infinite spiritual existence is there to tempt you. And if you're in any way attracted to just merging into the neutral position of just being absolute, pure spiritual energy, then you have to stop there. Prabodhananda Saraswati, he teaches us, you want to go back to Godhead? You have to see all the pleasures of heaven like the will-o'-the-wisp. They're all just an illusion, like flowers in the sky. Kaivalya Narakayate. And when you enter into the Brahma Jyoti, you have to see that impersonal Brahman as a place worse than hell, because there's no place to serve the Lord. But then after going beyond the Brahma Jyoti into the Paravyoma, the infinite spiritual sky, then you also have to go by the Vaikuntha planets, where the most elegant, beautiful, and all-attractive worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is taking place, where everyone is singing with pure love, and their voices are so divine. And they're all beautiful choruses in the glory of Lord Narayan. And there he is sitting on the throne with Lakshmi in the most beautiful, unlimited, gorgeous abode. And everyone is in the finest, most wonderful clothing, spiritual clothing. The clothing themselves is chinmoy. It is spiritual energy. Everything there is spiritual energy. And they're offering such rituals. They're not just dry rituals, but they're offered with such pure love. And they're so elegant. If you're the slightest attracted to that, you stop in Vaikuntha. Only if your mind is completely fixed in that beautiful form of Shyam Sundar, who's standing in his threefold bending form, playing upon his flute with his most beloved supreme goddess of fortune, Srimati Radhigarani, standing on his left side. Unless our minds are completely fixed only in this, we will be diverted in our path back to the supreme abode of Goloka. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a beautiful story where Srivas Thakur wanted the supreme glories of Vrindavan to be pronounced by Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami. So he was actually challenging him. What is so great about this Krishna and Radharani? My Lakshmi Devi and Narayan, they are living in beautiful abodes of the finest celestial jewels and worshipped with the greatest elegance. And your Lord, this living in the forest with so many leaves and trees. But Swarup Damodar Goswami explained the nature of those trees and leaves. Every leaf of Vrindavan is billions of times infinitely more precious than even the most elegant jewels of Vaikuntha. By spiritual calculation, every blade of grass of Vrindavan is Chintamani Dham. It is utterly wish fulfilling. Every grain of dust of Brajbhumi will fulfill every one of your most intimate desires. It is all pure, spiritual, conscious substance. There is nothing dead, there is no matter. And everything in Vrindavan, the dust and the ground, the grass, the trees, is imbibed with Madhurya Ras, with the sweetness of conjugal love. Although these particular servants of the Lord may be in Santaras, Dasiras, Sakiras, or Vatsalyaras, still, because of Srimati Radhika Rani's presence there, everything is influenced by Madhurya Ras. The sweetest, highest, most spontaneous platform of love. Vrindavan is the place of Raga Bhakti. The highest platform where there is no formalities to the extent that nobody even recognizes or cares that Krishna is God. So Uddhava is coming from Mathura. And in the previous slokas of the previous chapter, he is explaining to Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, trying in his own helpless way to pacify them. He's explaining how Krishna is the absolute truth. He's all-pervading. He's within everything, and he's outside of everything. So therefore, he's actually with you, Nanda and Yashoda, really. He's God. He's the absolute truth. He's in and between every atom. Nothing exists without him. He is the supreme controller. This was Uddhava's realization of Krishna. But now he's about to meet the gopis. And he's about to be very much shocked to see what a neophyte level he was on. That the gopis, to them, they're about in this chapter, Sri Radharani and the other gopis, they're not going to be glorifying Krishna with all sorts of wonderful, fine Vedic mantras. We're about to read in this chapter how Radharani and the gopis are going to be chastising Krishna through a bumblebee. The black bumblebee comes in front of Uddhava, and Radharani thinks, oh, black bumblebee, you're black. That means you must have come from Krishna. Because Krishna is also black. And you are the most unreliable servant of the most unreliable master. And Radharani is chastising Krishna in so many words. Uddhava has never heard such a thing. Mathura is like Vaikuntha in that everyone's glorifying Krishna, worshipping him as the supreme Godhead. Can you imagine what a shock it is when he hears the gopis calling him a rascal and so many other words? In pure love, no formality, no sophistication, just simple and totally spontaneous, what Uddhava is about to see that he has never seen any devotees anywhere that are so totally immersed and absorbed in Krishna 24 hours a day. The raga bhakti, the spontaneous love of the Brijvasis, is not to be found anywhere else. It is the Braj Bhav. It is this that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to offer to the world. So wonderful. We may very much appreciate the oneness of all religions, how there are different ways of approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead in various forms. And we do recognize that it is the same God, whether we call him Allah or Christ or Buddha, or whether we, so many names of the Lord, Narayan. And we see that there are so many very, very bona fide, authorized processes which are gradually bringing us to the platform of pure love of God. But what Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given is something very special. He is giving entrance into the abode of Vrindavan, the supreme, most perfect and complete of all the Lord's eternal abodes. Of course, we cannot cheaply approach. In fact, Srila Prabhupada used to tell us that actually when we are worshipping the deities of Radha Gopinath, Radha Vrindavan Chandra, Radha Govinda, Radha Rasbihari, Radha Landaneshwari, Radha Parisheshwari, Rukmini Dwarakadish, so many murtis Prabhupada personally installed. He said, actually, we are worshipping them in the Vaikuntha act, in the Vaikuntha spirit, in the way we would worship Lakshmi Narayan. Why? Because we are following very, very strict rules and regulations, according to the Hari Bhakti Vilas and other, and the Pancharatriki Vidhi, that it is very, very essential that the worship is done with great punctuality, with great cleanliness, very carefully, with the proper mantra. Each idol must be offered at the right time. And Guru Maharaj said, if we do not worship the deity according to these strict standards, we are committing offenses. First of all, no one is supposed to worship the deity directly unless they have taken the second initiation. In other words, they have taken diksha, purified by the Gayatri Mantra, after many years of training and purification. So this in itself is a very, very strict rule and a very high standard. And Guru Maharaj was very, very concerned that the standard be most carefully observed. In fact, he made his Western headquarters in Los Angeles, and his own quarters was just outside the deity room. And whenever the pujari would come in for an offering or come out for an offering, they would pass right by Prabhupada's door, and Prabhupada would personally and purposely keep his door open. And he would see the pujari go in with the offering and start ringing the bell, and Prabhupada would look at his watch.
If it was even seconds late, he would chastise them. Are you not respecting that Krishna is expecting your offering on time? You are 10 seconds late. He expected on the second the offering begin. He expected that on the second the arti begin. This was the standard. And this is the standard he instituted in all of his temples everywhere. I remember when we were pujaris, we had a little clock, and we'd have all the offerings set up, and when the second hand reached the 12, we would start ringing the bell. And if we were 5 seconds late, we felt we have made an offense. This was the standard. And when worshiping the deities, no one talked. Absolute silence. When we were addressing the deities, the only talking is at a tiny whisper if we absolutely needed something specifically involving, like, do you have an extra pin? But we'd whisper it so the deities wouldn't hear. This was the standard. This is the standard that must be executed. This is not Vrindavan style. In Vrindavan style, they just say anything. There's no question of time or anything else. Braga Bhakti is something different. So we are actually worshiping the deity, although we're worshiping Radha and Gopinath. They are personally there. We are worshiping them in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan because we are following rules and regulations. Vrindavan Dham is beyond rules and regulations. But we cannot artificially imitate, like so many people want to do here in India. People criticize our movement. That look at how you worship the deities with such formalities. This is not the mood of Vrindavan. But how to enter into that mood of Vrindavan? Raga Bhakti comes when we actually, through the process of following the principles that our Guru Maharaj has given us, we become so completely attached to Krishna, so completely, our senses become so completely regulated, our mind becomes so regulated to always be immersed in the service of the Lord. And it's amazing, when you follow these principles of deity worship strictly, when we used to worship Shalagram Shila, what type of rituals Prabhupada put us through? It took about 45 minutes just to install all the items before you even begin the Abhishek. You have to draw little pictures everywhere with water of little swastikas and little stars, and we have to mantra for each thing, specific mantra, so many prayers. Then you begin. And then as you begin, everything is very, very systematic. Everything has to be done exactly in a certain way, exactly at a certain time, exactly with a certain mantra. And when you do this, your mind just becomes so incredibly regulated to just be thinking of Krishna. And through completely absorbing your mind in Krishna in this way, gradually you transcend the modes of material nature, and then by Krishna's grace, he gives you entrance into Raga Bhakti, spontaneous love. But Vrindavan is that place of spontaneous love. And although we do not approach it in a sahaja imitationist way, we approach it with great respect, according to very strictly following the rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness. But still, we understand what is our goal. And we're striving for that goal. And we fix our mind ultimately on that goal of assisting our spiritual masters in their loving devotional service to Sri Radhikarani and Sri Gopinathji. And through all the processes of purification that take place on our sojourn toward Vrindavan Dham, our mind is always aspiring only to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Brijbasis. Headed by the senior Vaishnavas who are present before us, because they are dedicating their lives to follow in the footsteps of such great Brijbasis. So how Uddhava was so wonderfully amazed after coming from the supreme kingdom of Mathura, to see the simplicity and the spontaneous loving emotions of the gopis. And we are about to read about the wonderful conversation that he is about to have with the damsels of Vrindavan. Is there any questions?
Maharaj, you can understand attractive things what you see in Radha Gopinath, but I'm just wondering, what is it about Narasimha Dev and Narasimha Dev, Kurma Avatar, and what is that which really attracts, you know, people? You said that there are people who worship them and they go to that planet in Vaikuntha. So when we really see Narasimha Dev, it's so fearful, that what is that really attracts?
And but how did Prahlad see Narasimha Dev? He did not see Narasimha Dev as fearful. He saw him as the most beautiful manifestation of God. Huh? Prahlad saw the qualities of Narasimha Dev. Although he was fearful to Hiranyakashipu, he was the Lord of love and beauty to Prahlad. So there are devotees who naturally, within their hearts, are awakened this type of love. Some of my very dear god brothers, I know one in particular, actually several, but one in particular I will speak of. He is a Narasimha Bhakta from the core of his heart. And he'll come to the temple and worship Radha and Krishna with great respect. But when he goes home and sees his Narasimha deity, he just becomes, his life and soul is only for him. Huh? So in this way, by the inconceivable will of the Lord, he's being spontaneously attracted to that form. And he worships Narasimha Dev for several hours every day, just singing Narasimha mantras. So such people who become such devotees, Krishna will fulfill their desires, and he and such people can eternally serve the Lord of their hearts in the particular Vaikuntha planet. Some people are so spontaneous attracted to the beauty and form of Lord Ramchandra. In fact, Murari Gupta was a devotee of Ram from birth. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at one time told him that, don't you know that the affection of Krishna's Leela is deeper and more sublime than Ram's? You should chant Krishna's name. And he tried. The next day, Murari Gupta came to Mahaprabhu and said, please give me your permission to commit suicide. Why? Because to disobey the order of your guru means your life is wasted. You might as well kill yourself if you can't obey the order of your guru. And you are my guru, and you have told me to worship Krishna. But I can't. I tried. All night long I tried to chant the name of Krishna, but only the name of Ram came out of my mouth. And the very thought of chanting anyone else's name except Ram just brought such a heartbreaking experience to my life that tears flowed from my eyes. I can't do it. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him and was so pleased that your love for Ram is so chaste and so pure. In fact, today I declare that you are none different than Hanuman. And he was very happy. And also Anupam, the brother of Rupan Sanatan, he was of the same mood. Rupan Sanatan tried to convince them, but he could not give up the loving service of Lord Ram. And it is explained that when he left his body near the bank of the Ganges in Bengal, he returned to the eternal abode of Lord Ram. For those who give their lives, Krishna will fulfill your every desire. Are there any other questions?
mentioned in the lecture that even if you have the slightest desire, you may not go back to God and go back to Krishna Lok. Same time, we have been told that at a time of death, when you think of Krishna, you go back to Krishna also. Isn't it said that when you think of Krishna at a time of death, you go back to Krishna?
But you have to think of him with no other desire. It is not just a mechanical process. You have to think of him in pure devotion to reach that plane.
At the same time,
according to the quality that you think of him at the time of death, that will be your destination as well. If you think of Krishna in any way, you'll attain Krishna. But exactly what level of Krishna consciousness you will attain depends on the quality in which you are thinking of him.
At the same time, we always sing this Narasimha prayers also, times of difficulties of someone, some other Vaishnavas. So we constantly do this, like whenever we are on a yatra or whenever. So that means we are also meditating on Narasimhadev also at the same
yes.
time meditating on Krishna.
Yes. Because in order to really understand the beauty and the glory and the greatness of Krishna, we must also develop loving devotion and understanding of his various incarnations. And then when we see how great the Lord appeared as Narasimhadev or Vamanavatar or Ramchandra, then we understand that they are all included, they are all expansions in Shamsundar. So in order to come to that level of deeply appreciating the magnitude and the glories of Krishna, it is very, very important that we also understand very carefully his various incarnations as well. Also the Purusha avatars, how Mahavishnu is creating, how Garbha Dakshayi Vishnu and Kshiro Dakshayi Vishnu are working in this material universe, in this creation. It is very, very important to understand those things in order to deeply have a rich understanding of the supreme position of Shamsundar. And then after understanding the supreme position of Shamsundar, then by the grace of those beloved servants of his, we are endowed with that super excellent spontaneous love for the Lord, where we transcend even the realizations we have acquired of his greatness simply on the basis of the intensity of love.
Very many religions who believe in Allah or Jehovah or so on and so forth. So these names are also non different from Krishna. So does this mean that people who are believing in these names and are kind of worshipping this form, what happens to them? As you were saying, that as you transcend,
it depends on the quality in which they chant the holy name. But these are none different than Krishna in it is the same divine supreme person, but different levels of understanding that one supreme person. In the various religions of the world you're speaking, the conception of God that they have philosophically, as well as the idea of God that they are worshipping, and the process in which they're worshiping him, is generally of the platform of either achieving a realization of God in heavenly planets. In some religions, they actually worship Lord Brahma. And the ultimate goal is to attain his Satyaloka. In some religions, they are worshiping the Lord, although in various names. The conception of God they have is the God of Vaikuntha.
but only those who are following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan and being trained in authorized way to do so, do they fix their mind on Krishna, Vrindavanath. And such devotees alone will attain the abode of Krishna.
Does this mean that there are some people who follow the Mormon religion?
As far as I could understand by hearing them and some little study of their religion, they worship Lord Brahma. They really do not discuss pure unalloyed devotion of Vaikuntha. Their idea is they become like a Lord Brahma, where they become a creator of planets in their own abode. So their goal is to become like Lord Brahma. So, obviously, it is a religion that is elevating people to a higher platform of consciousness, but very, very materially oriented. Conception is, when you get married, it's eternal. And your children, and your pet dog, and everything in your family, you will all be resurrected in your own spiritual planet where all your family will assist you in being a creator of universes. That is actually their teaching. Huh? So they are worshiping Lord Brahma. So we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. We don't want to be creators of universes. We are not concerned with being resurrected with our wife and children and everything else and continuing our family life forever. We are concerned with just being a grain of dust at the feet of the Brijabasis. To us, that's a much higher realization and a much sought-after desire than being the Lord and Master of universes. It's to just be a grain of dust at the feet of one of the Brijabasis. People cannot understand this religion at all unless they have the special mercy of a pure devotee of the Lord.
Maharaj, can we hope that these people who are these diehards one day might turn to Krishna? Is it possible? We just hope that
they are already coming to Krishna in their own way. They are being elevated. They are becoming very pious. So we don't want to discourage them. We want to encourage them. But if they're willing to open their hearts to pure devotional service, then we are very happy to give them the opportunity.
You said about Kurma Avatar and Narasingha. Just there's a comment by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in the 12th canto. He says that Lord Kurma Dev tortoise, he held the Mandara mountain and he experienced a nice sensation of itching. Mm. And by meditating on that itching, one can become freed from all desires for mental speculation and material enjoyment. Mm.
Rivo.
Maharaj, is it necessary for the spiritual master to be on the Raganuga platform to take the disciple back to Godhead, Maharaj? What is the understanding?
Well, if he is, that is very good. But if he is following in the footsteps of those who are, then he will be. Then he could take you along with him. Ultimately, the destination is the same. In other words, even if a spiritual master is not on that highest level, if he is properly following in the footsteps of acharyas who are, then he will become on that level, without doubt. And he will take you all the way to the highest abode, along with him. So some gurus are already there, and they're reaching down to bring you up. And some gurus are on their way, and they're taking taking you with them. But ultimately the destination is the same. That is the beauty of this parampara. But if a guru who's on his way, somehow or other, takes a detour, then the previous acharyas will send someone else to bring you the rest of the way. That is the beauty and glory of this parampara system. That we are sure to go back to Godhead, to Goloka Vrindavan, if we simply sincerely follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas and accept a spiritual master who is strictly following the principles of the previous acharyas.
The mood of Lord Chaitanya, which we were talking about, that means that includes all moods. That's the safest, that the mood of Lord Chaitanya, that is this Harinam Sankirtan movement, is the safest process to attain to the highest goal, which includes all the other moods, like the mood of on reverence, the worship of Lord Kurma, worship of Lord Nrisingha. Isn't that the safest and, safest. And the supreme?
The congregational chanting of the holy name of Krishna is not only the safest, but it is the most important. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo, Nasteva, 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 Gatiranjata. In fact, the Shastras say in this age of Kali, there's no other way, no other way, no other way. Because this age of Kali is such a dangerous place that we need the safest and easiest process, and that is Nam Sankirtan. And that is why this is the Yuga Dharma. It is the only really recommended process in this age of Kali for self-realization. Therefore, we must know that the very crux and essence of everything we do is to come together to chant the holy names and to strictly chant our japa every day. It's the name. It's the congregational chanting of the holy name and the individual meditation on the holy name that will bring us back home, back to Godhead. And association of devotees is so vital and important, but what does association mean? We come together to hear the glories of the Lord. We come together to chant the holy names of the Lord, to inspire one another to take shelter of the holy name. That is the only purpose of our association, and to give it to others. Everything in our life is revolving around only one thing, Nam Sankirtan, the chanting of the name. Nothing else should come between us, except either to chant together, to discuss chanting together, or to discuss distributing the name to others together. Other than that, we have no business with each other. And all of our help, whether it be on a physical or mental level, it's all aimed ultimately toward the service of the holy name. But this is our all in all. We are like fish, and the Sankirtan of the holy name is our water. We should feel like this. We cannot exist without it. It is our life, our sustenance. It's our everything. This movement is simply based on this principle, the chanting of the holy name of God. This is what Mahaprabhu has given us. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Maharaj, when we are chanting, is Krishna considering our attitude? Because sometimes due to certain conditionings, we are aware that even though we are trying certain stages, we are not able to hear the way we should be hearing. But if we are chanting with this desire that, my dear Krishna, it's very pleasing to you, so whatever our limitations are, please consider the desires to please you. Then Krishna pays attention to the attitude. He takes that into consideration much.
Krishna is concerned with our bhakti. Bhakti means our attitude. If we are trying to concentrate, that endeavor is bhakti. Even if our mind is wildly roaming from place to place, if we're earnestly trying to hear, that endeavor is our bhakti. And that is that endeavor itself is what attracts Krishna. It is not our concentration that attracts Krishna, but our attitude and our earnest endeavor to concentrate for the pleasure of the Lord that attracts Krishna. So even if sometimes devotees may feel that my mind is so uncontrolled, it's going everywhere, I can't chant properly, that's not a reason to think that you're not making tremendous spiritual advancement. If you're just trying to chant with concentration, you're making great spiritual advancement. Even if your mind is totally uncontrolled, your endeavor is what's pleasing Krishna. And in pleasing Krishna, we make spiritual advancement.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.